You're listening to Kyle Warren.
Well, some pretty impassioned speeches already as CPAC gets underway there in Orlando, Florida. And of course, the real fireworks are going to be coming this Sunday with former President Trump going to address the gathering there. And we might find out a little bit more about this possible political action committee the former president wants to evidently wants to form. Other things about his political future, what he does and doesn't want to do or will or won't do. So I think a lot of that will become clear. But one thing is certain, the Republicans actually had a good year down ticket, and that's what terrifies the Democrats. Stay with us. All right, welcome everyone around the globe and across the net. It is the Friday slash weekend edition. That's right, folks. It's the day of the week when we keep you entertained and informed a little bit more than we do throughout the rest of the week. If that's even humanly possible, and as always, we do our level best to send you off into your weekend with a smile. Well, thank you very much. A singing host making his contractually mandated and obligatory appearance here on the program. Folks, welcome to the show. It is the Friday slash weekend edition. It is Friday, February 26th, 2021. And boy, do we have an awful lot to tell you about on the show today. We've got some great audio clips. We're also going to hear some of my appearance from earlier this morning on the Captain's America Third Watch radio program. And of course, I'll be a guest later on this evening on the Captain's America Third Watch. All that happens at 11.05 p.m. Pacific, 2.05 a.m. Eastern Time. Simply go to KyleWarrenShow.com. There you'll find links to listen live to Captain Matt Bruce's flagship station of AM 860 The Answer there in Tampa, Florida, as the program goes out along the Salem Media Group of stations, also along the GCN network as well. The Captain and I will have a complete update of all of the day's political events, especially what's going on at CPAC right now, the other news that you need to be hearing about, and news that you might not even be hearing about in the mainstream media. And so we talk about it all. It's tomorrow's news tonight, and we encourage you to join us live on the radio later this evening. And thanks once again for listening to this show today. Friday slash weekend edition is here. Well, as I said, we have an awful lot to talk about. We have audio clips of Mitch McConnell, where he does talk about possible, you know, support for Donald Trump if he were to run again. So I just don't know yet. I mean, I think the former president is probably looking at all these different options. I just don't know yet that he would definitely run because that remains to be seen. This is years down the road at this point. Senator Romney the other day talked about how former President Trump enjoys a lot of support, that in his opinion, he would likely win the nomination. But again, we don't know exactly what Donald Trump is going to want to be doing or feel that he can be most effective at. So again, it remains to be seen. But on Sunday, when he goes to speak at CPAC, it'll be a lot more clear, that's for sure. There's still a lot of people, there are a lot of people in the Republican Party across the highways and byways that still support Donald Trump. And I think that they also support this idea of Trumpism. That may be the fulcrum here where we might see greater strides in terms of unseating an incumbent Democrat president 4 years from now, and certainly the ability to take over the House and keep or retake the Senate, basically, or get a Republican majority in the Senate. In other words, break that 50-50 and have more Republicans than Democrats, thus eliminating the Kamala Harris one, you know, vote tiebreaker, basically. But I think they have a good chance of that. pardon me, folks, in 2022. And that's because the Republicans did so very well in 2020 in terms of the House seats. Now there's just a margin of about five or so that could change as one of the seats. I think it's in Iowa, if I recall correctly, is being disputed. They want to bring in other ballots now, this kind of thing. But the election is done. It's certified. And I'm not trying to make light of things, but where have we heard this before? I thought that once the election was certified, that's it. I mean, isn't that what we've been talking about now for months? The election was certified. The election was certified. And so, and we've had people call into the Captain's America. Well, what if they find a bunch of votes, or what if they're able to show voter fraud? And then what happens? Well, nothing happens at that point because the election has been certified. And again, just a hypothetical situation, there is no mechanism to undo it because it doesn't exist as far as I know. And all of these different windows, of course, have closed. So if you're going to have Democrats trying to unseat a seated Republican representative on the idea that, well, we have 22 extra ballots because this race was decided by six votes. And so suddenly, well, we have 22 or something extra ballots. Well, and I think these were invalidated anyway before. But the idea, of course, is that, well, wait a minute. It's good enough for Democrats to say, well, look, this is all done for the presidential election, but not done for this election in the House. It does seem a little bit, maybe just a little bit ironic, wouldn't you say? But we'll see where that goes. And because of this, the way that this process works in the House, we could see that flip from Republican to Democrat. So we're going to keep our eyes on it, of course. Also today on the program, we have so much more to talk about regarding, what's happening even out there in retail. Store owners are signing more short-term leases, we understand, looking at the future of what things might be like in retail. And if you've been watching, and the other day I posted this on Facebook, it looks like Fry's Electronics, they're national. They have stores all over the place. There's a couple of big Fry's stores in my general area here. They have announced they're going to be, it's not happening tomorrow, but evidently they're going to phase out all of their stores. They're phasing, and this is big, huge electronics store on the order of like a Best Buy, this kind of thing. And Best Buy, I think, too, is, I think, if I recall correctly, paring down despite a lot of the profit they've made over the last recent times. But the sign of the times because of COVID. Disney Cruises announced the other day all their ships are docked, and basically, this is really happening, folks. It's really, really concerning. The economy of great concern, especially as we try to come out of COVID, but not into a Trump economy, but into a Biden economy. Oh, brother.
You're listening to Kyle Warren.
If you're a veteran looking to file for your service-connected benefits through the Department of Veterans Affairs, don't go it alone. AMVET's highly trained service officers stand ready to walk you through the process at VA regional offices around the country, helping you to navigate the complex VA system free of charge. With new presumptions for Agent Orange exposure and other conditions, AMVET's can offer you the advice you need to finally receive all of your earned benefits. In 2009 alone, AMVET's helped process more than 65,000 claims and appeals, securing more than $410 million in benefits. To find your nearest AMVET service officer or to learn more, visit amvets.org.
Hey, I'm going out to buy those shelves for the closet.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
Honey, I love you, but 800 more flowers? You'll give the neighbors a real reason to think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright a bulb is. Our 60-watt bulbs give off about 800 lumens. We can replace them with new 800 lumen bulbs. Bulbs just as bright that use much less energy.
So, we'll save money.
Yes, and we can use that money to increase my allowance.
Right. Wise guy.
Worth a try.
So, you got that?
Got it. No tulips, no watts, 800 lumens, and more savings.
He got it.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov. That's energysavers.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Energy.
After a long, hard day in the rough-and-tumble world of politics, open a tall, cool Kyle Warren Show. Ah, that crisp, refreshing taste. That smooth style. That effervescing attitude. And without all that other stuff that can, well, bog you down. Helping to put back what the daily media assault takes away, listen to The Kyle Warren Show weekdays right here on this station and visit the website at kylewarrenshow.com.
I'm Ron Edwards, host of the Edwards Notebook. Class is in session with the professor of politics, Kyle Warren.
Yes, it is, and thank you very much, Mr. Ron Edwards, host of the Edwards Notebook, of course, and the Ron Edwards American Experience. And I think I might be talking to Ron Edwards early next week. I'll keep you apprised of it. I'll also post it on Facebook. And maybe talking with Ron here on his program at the beginning of next week. I'm looking forward to it. And folks, don't forget you can go to KyleWarrenShow.com. There you can subscribe to this program. And of course, we keep going up and up and up, just like the music is doing right there. And we have only one reason for that, folks. And that, of course, is you, the listeners. You, the listeners, for by subscribing to the program, by checking in, you make it all worthwhile. We couldn't do it without you, and really, really do appreciate it. And yeah, it'll be good. I'd spoken with Ron on air a while back, and he graciously asked me to come on his program again. So we're going to, I believe, have a great conversation early next week. As I said, I'll keep you informed as soon as I know exactly what's going on. But at any rate, folks, we've got so much more to tell you about as we race through and rocket through the program here. And if you do like what we do here on the program, we do ask that you consider subscribing to the program. Go to KyleWarrenShow.com. There you can find the subscribe button. You can also find us on various podcast services that list the program. So welcome to everybody listening on Apple Podcasts, also on Google Podcasts, also on Spotify as well, and many other great podcast services. We're glad to have you with us, and welcome aboard. Okay, so let's take a look here real quick. Yeah, we're talking about President Trump, and then we were looking at this idea. Now, there's this whole thing of the Civil War, so-called Civil War, and there's a lot of I don't want to say disunity, but there is, like, for example, what's going on with Representative Cheney and so forth. Certain people weren't invited to CPAC, for example. Vice President Pence was invited, but he declined the offer, and so forth. But generally speaking, the Republicans absolutely have to, I think, do the best that they can to present unity to the rest of the world, in the sense of going against and holding back and working with when appropriate. See, this is the thing. What's happening in many ways in our society now, in our political life, is that everything has to be constant, complete opposition, no matter what. We saw this with the Democrats throughout the Trump years. We saw this with the Democrats. Because why? Because they didn't want to give Trump a win. They did not want to give President Trump a win on DACA, which is a major issue, I think, for everybody. But in particular, the Democrats tried to glom on to an issue like that because they believe it makes things better for them in the sense of how they glom on to it. But even so, the president would have signed, I think, anything that the Democrats in any bipartisan way would have come up with. The president would have signed it for DACA. That would have been a done deal. It would have been codified. It would and move on to the next issue, basically. But they didn't want to do that. And they left people that they believe are a core part of their constituency out in the cold. And this is what, and really, it, this should be very educational. They left them out in the cold for no other reason than to spite Donald Trump. Okay? And this, my friends, is why I think we will see, as we head towards 2022, that we are going to see more and more people from different groups in terms of ethnic groups or socioeconomic groups and racial groups, that more and more people are going to gravitate towards the Republican Party, because Donald Trump showed that the Republican Party was, in fact, the party of people that actually care whether or not you get a job, you can hold a job, you get a better job, you can, you know, advance, do better, prosper in this country. And really, and as we go through this weekend of CPAC, and then we also look back, of course, to the recent passing of Rush Limbaugh. And a few days ago on the program, we profiled part of his speech that he made at CPAC back in 2009, talking about the idea that the Republicans, the conservatives, they don't see these groups, and they don't deal in terms of groups and this kind of thing. They deal in terms of Americans, and they deal in terms of opportunity. And, you know, again, without some people out there really trying to divide and really trying to drive those wedges, well, that's just, I don't think that's the natural state of affairs. I really don't. I really don't think people are that, have that much animosity against somebody else just because they come from somewhere different. Even a different part of the country, even this kind of thing. People just aren't really like that when you get them all together and they live in a community and this kind of thing. And there's opportunity and everybody is rooting for each other in the grand sense. But when you have people who need to make it their job, literally their way of grabbing onto and holding onto political power, their job is to divide you. Their job is to point and say, well, all your problems, those people over there, they've caused your problems. And they have a different appearance than you do. So you need to be against them. And it's just ridiculous nonsense. It's horrifically bad, isn't it? And so again, I think that as we move towards 2022, I think you'll see a lot of different people, different ethnic groups and so forth, that they're going to start gravitating a little bit more towards the Republican Party, because frankly, as we come out of COVID, as I was mentioning before we went to break, as we come out of COVID, not into a Trump-driven economy, but into a Biden-driven economy, it's going to look really bad. Okay, things are going, and I hate to say it, but the Biden people, the Biden machine, the Democrat Party elite, I don't think that they have in mind, hey, we're going to really, this economy is just going to start sailing. They don't want that. I don't think they want that in a million billion years. I think they want to make sure that they have control, that they could institute the universal basic income, they can get rid of your private health care, they can get everybody just kind of having to rely on a big central government that is going to constantly run every single aspect of your life, from the energy you use, to the doctor that you see, to the food that you eat, to how much education you're really going to be able to get, and the health care that you kind of it, all this stuff. It sounds horrific. I mean, it sounds really bad, but it's because they believe, I think, that they get the power out of it, that they are then generating this atmosphere of power. Well, now, again, with the GOP, as we were talking about earlier, there are, I think, some rough spots, obviously, some road bumps here. But one interview in particular that I think has been really making the rounds is this interview that Brett Baer over at Fox News did with now a Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. Let's listen in and see what he had to say a little bit.
All right, we're just 12 days, Senator, since your really blistering speech on the Senate floor about former President Trump. Here's just a piece of that.
He did not do his job. He didn't take steps so federal law could be faithfully executed and order restored? No. Instead, according to public reports, he watched television happily, as the chaos unfolded.
Sorry, I interrupted you there with your speech. You were saying.
Well, look, my point is, what happened in the past is not something relevant now. We're moving forward. We've got a new administration. It's a very left-wing administration. We need to make sure the American people understand that this is not what Republicans stand for. I want to say this about the president. Having chosen the progressive route, he certainly made it a lot easier for me to unify my members in opposition.
Okay, so there's Mitch McConnell right there, and we're going to hit the break here in just a few moments. So that's sort of the setup there. You've got Mitch McConnell on the one hand, Brett Baer playing his, as you said, very blistering speech about President Trump, and then at the same time going after Biden, saying, hey, you're making it easy to unite the party now. So there is that dynamic going on, and when we come back, we'll hear the rest of that exchange. It's very, very interesting. You don't want to miss it. Folks, stay right there. We've got a lot more to tell you about.
You're listening to Kyle Warren.
Hi, folks. This is Kyle Warren. A short timeout, then back with more, so stay right there. Hi, folks. This is Kyle Warren. Stay tuned for the Edwards Notebook right here on the Kyle Warren Show.
Henry Wadsworth Longfellow was one of the most famous American poets during the 19th century. An ardent abolitionist, he wrote the poem The Building of a Ship, which addressed his fear that slavery would destroy our nation. Hello, I'm Ron Edwards. On today's page from the Edwards Notebook, Wadsworth's poem states, and I quote, "Thou too shalt sail on, O ship of state, sail on, O Union, strong and great. Humanity and all its fears, with all the hopes of future years, is hanging breathless on thy fate. Our hearts, our hopes are with thee, our hearts, our hopes, our tears, our faith triumphant o'er our fears, are all with thee, are all with thee." In January of 1941, President Franklin D. Roosevelt included the first five lines of Longfellow's poem in a handwritten letter to British Prime Minister Winston Churchill and stated, "The verse applies to your people as it does to us." Churchill was deeply moved, and he saw the letter as a symbol of the two nations' growing partnership. "Give us the tools," Churchill told President Roosevelt, "and we will finish the job. Today, hopefully, we will acquire the tools needed to overcome those seeking to literally enslave we the people and destroy our republic. God bless the USA, and may the USA bless God." I'm Ron Edwards. Check out the RonEdwards.com.
Ron Edwards, the new voice of America.
Sponsored by the Tri-County Liberty Coalition.
Listening to Kyle Warren.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Kyle Warren with you. Welcome back as we continue racing through and rocketing through this Friday/weekend edition. Glad to be with you, and thanks once again for joining us. Don't forget, you can go to KyleWarrenShow.com. There you can subscribe to the program. You can also find me on Facebook there. We've got links to Facebook, also to Parler. You can find me on Parler at Kyle Warren Show. Okay, well, right before the break, we were listening to an interview with Brett Baer. This is a fairly important interview this last week. With Mitch McConnell, Senate Minority Leader, because part of this interview was sort of portrayed that, well, Mitch McConnell says he will support President Trump if he was the nominee. Now, I do think that's true. I think if President Trump came back and he ran and he got the nomination and this kind of thing, Mitch McConnell would support the Republican nominee. But I do think that at least as far as McConnell's concerned, that's a far cry from being an enthusiastic kind of supporter. And that's where a lot of this fence mending, whatever the meeting of the minds, whatever you call it, is, I think, going to have to happen in the GOP in order to really get some kind
critical mass happening as we move through 22 and into 24. Now, again, we don't know if President Trump's going to go out and run again. We don't know. We're going to know more, I think, when he gives a speech at CPAC. But generally speaking, and you'll hear the senator say here in a moment, there's going to be a lot of people running already. Let's listen into more of this interview.
You're talking about President Biden, but the reason it's relevant, and obviously I'm sure you read the lengthy statement from the former president saying the Republican Party can never again be respected or strong with political leaders like Senator Mitch McConnell at its helm. McConnell's dedication to business as usual, status quo policies, together with his lack of political insight, wisdom, skill, and personality has rapidly driven him from majority leader to minority leader. It goes on very specifically. When you read that, what was your reaction?
The Republican Party is actually in very good shape. We gained seats in the House. We elected 50 Republican senators when everybody was predicting we were going to lose the Senate. The Democrats didn't flip a single state legislature. We flipped two, picked up a governor. The Republican Party had a very good day on November 3rd. We're sorry we lost the White House, but the Republican Party demonstrated once again this is a 50-50 nation. We're very competitive, and we'll be competitive again in 22.
Do you blame the former president for losing the two Georgia Senate seats?
I don't have any further observations to make about that. We're looking forward,
okay,
dealing with the new administration.
Well, let me ask you this.
And trying to hold the Senate in 22.
It's ahead of this big speech this weekend at CPAC. Should the former president be speaking at CPAC this weekend?
I don't have any advice to give the former president about where he should speak or what he should say.
There you have it. That interview goes on, but just for time reasons, I want to cut it off right there. That's a pretty relevant statement. I don't have any advice of where he should speak or what he should say. He went on to say, would you support the nominee? And he said, if he's the nominee, absolutely. But again, there is a lot of mending to go on. But what Mitch McConnell's talking about, and I think this is probably the most important thing about this, as he ticked off all those different things, we got these seats, we turned to governor, we got this. It's because of Trumpism. That's what the people have been responding to. And so that's why moving forward, whether or not Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump get along, like each other, whatever the case may be, the people are responding to what has been happening over the last 4 years, taking all the personalities and all that kind of stuff out of it. And that's where the GOP has its greatest opportunity going into 2022, because juxtaposed against a Biden economy, higher taxes, more regulation, all the craziness that's going to ensue because of the Joe Biden administration, the Republicans will have something very substantial to offer across the board. Across the board. All right. Well, folks, unfortunately, we won't have time to get to the story about the short-term leases today. We'll do that on the next program. But because we're running up to listening in to our appearance earlier this morning on the Captain's America Third Watch radio program, which is our Friday/weekend edition tradition. So without further ado, take it away, Captain.
Well, a couple of things about CPAC. First of all, I had every intention of being there, but it did not work out the way I wanted it to be. But I am going to go there Saturday and do something a little differently. However, Denise Simon, Kyle, is over there and will be reporting from CPAC when she comes on in hour number 3.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, Denise will have a lot of good stuff, I know.
Yeah. Yes. Now, she was walking around, mingled amongst the people yesterday, and that's all good. Now, today, the people that are going to be there is kind of like a who's who of conservative politics. Now, I will tell you, one of the people speaking today on one of the panels is Congressman Mo Brooks from Alabama. Does that ring a bell?
I believe so, yeah.
He was the one who enthusiastically backed President Trump's claims of fraud. He's going to be on stage for a 35-minute segment called Protecting Elections, Why Judges and Media Refused to Look at the Evidence. I can't wait to hear that one because I'm going to be watching it on C-SPAN. The theme, of course, will pick up again Sunday morning when speakers will discuss what's called the failed states. of Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Nevada and get into some specifics over there. Now, to kind of jumpstart ahead of time here, there was a law that changed in Georgia when it comes to ID for absentee ballots. They must show picture ID for mail-in ballots or ID of some form to identify that's who it is that's there. I don't know exactly how they're going to do that, but at least that's a start. And by the way, signature verification is back in again.
Well, and those are two very, very important things. The signature verification obviously can't be overstated. Yeah,
because they did not verify signatures up there in Georgia in many cases. They just took them the way they were.
Exactly. And again, you have to have rules when you have elections. We want everybody to get a chance to vote.
Well,
nobody wants to.
The states where Donald Trump lost, where he shouldn't have lost, were where they had the problems. Now, I want to tell you that here's the list of who's who that's been speaking and that will be speaking here. Of course, Governor Ron DeSantis spoke right off the bat and welcomed everybody to Florida. That was or he's doing it this morning, rather, at 9 a.m., and that's a great thing. Also, other candidates that could be running in 2024, Senator Ted Cruz, Senator Tom Cotton, Senator Rick Scott, Senator Josh Hawley is going to be there. His speech is simply titled Remarks, so nobody really knows what he's going to say. And then Saturday, Mike Pompeo, the former Secretary of State, will be there. Governor Kristi Noem of South Dakota, she's going to be very, very popular. And, of course, Sunday at 3:40 p.m. in the afternoon, all eyes will be turned to Donald Trump as he's scheduled to be on the podium. Now, there are a couple of noticeable absentees there. You know who they are?
Well, one, of course, is Vice President Mike Pence, I think, who was invited.
And who's the other one?
Let's see. I'm going to say Nikki Haley.
That's right. Yeah. Those two not being there is an obvious message being sent that, well, number one, either they weren't invited, but Pence was invited. He turned it down. I do not believe Nikki Haley was invited, though.
I don't know for sure, but there have been some things that she had said about Donald Trump which would fit well, I think.
And all the reports I've seen tell me that she was not invited, so I'm just going to go with that and see what happens. Now, in the meantime, this event in Florida, the who's who of conservative politics with all the people coming here, the reason they came to Florida is because they could have a gathering of people socially distanced and wearing masks when they needed to be and all that sort of stuff. That's what it was all about. That's why they came here, because Maryland, they wouldn't let them do it where they normally go.
Well, exactly.
Even let them have the event.
Nope. But in Florida, as you said, that's where they're able to.
Well, we're open for business.
Yeah, unlike a lot of other places in the country. Absolutely right. And I'm sure that they're taking all kinds of precautions and being COVID safe as far as they possibly can.
Our numbers keep dropping.
Yes.
Dramatically. Our numbers keep dropping dramatically.
Yeah.
We're going to be, all the prognosticators down here in Florida, not the ones across the country because they don't want you to think that we're doing as good as we are, but all the prognosticators here in Florida are saying that we're going to reach a herd immunity sometime in April. That's dramatic.
It is very dramatic, but yet we still have some lockdowns here in California.
Yeah, and other states. All right, hold that thought. Folks, we'll be right back with more with Kyle Warren, the professor of politics, and don't forget, this is the Captain's America Third Watch Friday Morning Edition. Kathy, take us to break.
You're listening to the Captain's America Third Watch, heard live right here on this station from 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern Time, overnight Monday through Saturday. Call 877-969-8600 and tell us what's on your mind.
You're listening to Kyle Warren.
This is Chicago-style hot dog here. I'm not feeling too good. Turns out, along with all the other bad things my cholesterol does, they say it's a risk factor for strokes. Strokes? Sheesh. Good news from National Stroke Association. Exercising, eating right, and asking your doctor about medicines that can help lower your cholesterol, like statins, may reduce the risk of a first stroke. And if you've already had a stroke, it's even more important you lower your cholesterol.
Lower your chances of stroke by controlling your cholesterol. Visit stroke.org today. Hey, John, I just heard you got a new computer. Congratulations.
Thanks. It's the coolest thing.
What'll you do with your old computer?
I don't know. I guess I'll just throw it away.
Well, my company just bought new computers, and we decided to donate the old PCs to a place that gives them to local schools. You could do something like that.
Seriously, who would want a 3-year-old computer?
Hey, it might be great for someone else. Computers can be refurbished and reused instead of ending up in the trash. By passing it on, you can help the community and the environment.
If you're replacing your company's IT equipment or you're finished using your personal computer, pass it on to a local organization that accepts computers. To learn more, log on to epa.gov/passiton. This message was brought to you by EPA, Dell, Intel, HP, NEC, Philips, and this radio station on behalf of EPA's Plug Into eCycling Partnership. EPA does not endorse any commercial services or products of these groups. For information on all partners, log on to epa.gov/plugin.
You're listening to Kyle Warren.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Kyle Warren with you. Welcome back as we continue racing through, rocketing through the Friday / weekend edition. And we have so much more to tell you about as we continue. And, of course, I'll be a guest later on this evening on the Captain's America Third Watch radio program for the Captain's Own weekend edition. So, without further ado, let's get right back to hearing some of my appearance from earlier this morning on the Captain's America Third Watch. Take it away, Captain. The fastest growing overnight radio program in America, the Captain's America Third Watch with host Captain Matt Bruce. Call us now at 1-877-969-8600. Take it away, Captain.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Announcer Guy, hanging on the telephone line right now. And I'll tell you what, this portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Relief Factor. Now, many of you know, regular listeners, that I do take Relief Factor, and I've been taking it for well over 5 years. It's part of my regimen that I take because of the injury that I suffered at the World Trade Center, which, by the way, I know what happened to Tiger Woods is much worse than what happened to me. Mine was bad enough, okay? His is worse. He's going to be in a wheelchair for a while, and he's going to be hurting for a while. So for you folks out there that suffer with pain, chronic pain, for you folks out there that suffer with swelling and inflammation, I have something that's worked for me that I'm going to tell you about, and it is called Relief Factor. Now, Relief Factor has turmeric, resveratrol, icarin, and omega-3 that helps to support the body's natural response to inflammation, which lowers or eliminates the pain, and it goes right straight to the source. Now, it's 100% drug-free. I love that because there's nothing worse than having a bunch of narcotics and feeling woozy all day long. And it's also got 100% botanical and fish oil product in it, which is made from a clinically developed formula that supports the regularization of key enzymes and proteins in the body that you need anyway. So if you want to find out what I've found out and take advantage, go to the website that they gave me, relieffactor.com/captain, relieffactor.com/captain, and sign up for the $19.95 3-week quick start program. That's all it costs, $19.95 for 3 weeks with the Relief Factor. And oh, by the way, it is deductible at the end of the year when it comes time for your health insurance as part of your expenses, just like buying aspirin and whatever else you buy over the counter. So there you go. But relieffactor.com/captain, relieffactor.com/captain, $19.95 for the 3-week quick start. You'll be glad you did. Trust me when I tell you. All right, Kyle Warren's back, the professor of politics. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Captain.
Now, not to forget about something, but we have a story that's I've been watching here because I'm trying to get this right. It's a developing story. Now, we had an airstrike launched last night against Iranian-backed forces inside Syria. Now, they had another Iraq rocket attack yesterday that killed a contractor and wounded a U.S. service member. And this was like the third or fourth attack in the last 7 to 10 days in Iraq. So This is my theory on this. Joe Biden felt the pressure for having to do something, and he did the something, the littlest amount of something he could do, and that was fire a few missiles, if you will, at an Iranian target inside Syria, probably one of the rare echelon areas that had perhaps some ammunition, perhaps some training, and we really don't have a lot of details about that yet. We'll find out more as the evening progresses.
Well, that's right, Captain, and according to one report, they say the strikes, they were first reported by Reuters, by the way, earlier today. They appeared to be limited in scope and potentially lowering the risk of escalation. So that does track with your take on this, basically, that it was meant to do something, but not a big something, evidently.
Well, Joe Biden has no intention to totally and radically upset Iran because they want that Iranian nuclear deal, and Iran wants it too. They want the sanctions dropped. They want to be able to go back to enriching legally, technically, I guess the word's legally, nuclear material and, quote, produce power for all of Iran. Yeah, right, and make their nuclear warheads so that they can put them on some type of vehicle that's capable of hitting the target it's being aimed at. And that's their big problem, is whether or not they can come up with a missile that can actually hit what it's being aimed at. So we'll just sit back, we'll watch, and we'll see what happens. But that is a developing story, and we'll have more on that during the course of the evening.
Absolutely right, yes.
Now, Senator Ted Cruz totally eviscerated President Joe Biden's immigration policies, saying that the administration is moving rapidly towards open borders and in the most radical immigration plan that any administration has ever proposed in history. Can't say as I disagree with him.
No, I don't disagree with him at all, Captain. And in fact, you know, we hear this term radicalization. We hear it almost every day in some news story. But Senator Cruz actually used the word radicalized in a tweet that he sent out. And he's talking about this this immigration policy of the Biden administration. He says, today's Democrat Party has been radicalized to the point they're not even willing to enforce the law against violent criminals who are committing horrific crimes. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, basically, what they're talking about, Captain, is allowing every person who got deported over the last 4 years, the Trump era, basically, to come back to the United States, and they're not even really caring if they had a violent history, a history of violent crime, rape, you name it. They don't seem to care about that, according to Ted Cruz.
Well, that's all true, because they're not vetting the people. They're just, and by the way, every time I could, if I had a nickel for every time I've heard, well, the Biden administration is not going to split the parents and the children anymore like the Trump administration was doing. No, the Trump administration was taking the coyotes out of the equation, that even the DNA tests that were done to see if they could prove whether or not they were their own children or not did not happen.
Well, exactly right. And the watchword here, Captain, is weakness. The Joe Biden administration, the Biden-Harris administration, is signaling weakness, number one,
yeah.
Regardless of the airstrike, weakness to Iran,
yeah.
Also weakness to those, like you talk about, the coyotes and others who are their business is bringing people across the border.
Yeah, yeah, and I just got a direct message here from, this is from Stanley. Stanley is in San Antonio, Texas, and he's saying, great show, Captain. Appreciate being able to hear you in the middle of the night. You're a voice of reason, and tell the professor of politics hello. So that's from Stanley in San Antonio. Now, he's making a comment. He says that not only does Biden not want to rattle the cage of Iran, he certainly is not going to rattle the cage of China either. Now, let's go to the phone lines, because we could have an interesting take on all of this from an interesting person. Ian, what's up?
Jesus, I don't know if I can live up to that billing.
Well, you better. You better.
Okay, well, I got a question and a comment. The first comment is, I respectfully disagree with you two about Biden being weak about immigration. The weakness is coming and has been coming for quite some time now from the Republicans, and that doesn't seem to end. He's actually showing strength because, I mean, look, why are you guys dancing around this year after year, program after program? They're bringing in new Democrat voters. Okay,
that's I don't dance around it at all. I've said it many times.
They're bringing
many
in.
Times.
He's not being weak. He's giving the middle finger to everybody and saying, we're going to import new voters. And also, the flip side is the corporations, the totalitarian fascistic corporations now in this corporate state, get cheap labor while the rest of us Americans are going to be starved off and replaced. That's my comment. My question is, I'm going to ask the question I want to hear, and hang up and hear your answer. Why is it that every time a Republican gets in, no Democrat, none, votes to confirm any of the nominees that the Republican administration puts up? They march in lockstep. Well, we got these stupid, crummy Republicans going to confirm Biden's. No. No Republican in the House and Senate should vote for anybody that Biden puts up. We need to return fire on these Democrats like they do to us. And the immoral words, to paraphrase Henry Clay, faction must be met with faction, okay? And force must be met with force.
Yep.
None of these people should be confirmed by the Republicans. They all need to be not confirmed. The Republicans need to withhold the votes.
Yep. Okay. Now, we appreciate Ian saying that. Now, we're going to run out of time, Kyle, but I'm going to say I totally agree with him. And the reason why the Republicans don't have the solidification within their ranks is because they don't enforce it. They don't enforce it. You remember the Democrats march in lockstep because of two people. The majority whip, which is Steny Hoyer in the House of Representatives, and Nancy Pelosi. And if they want any type of cushy committee assignments, or they want to have any voice at all in what's going on in the Democratic Party, they tell them, this is what you'll do. Boom, boom, boom. One, two, three. Do it or lose it.
That's right. You're right about that.
Yeah, and well, I know I'm right about that because they enforce it. They really enforce it. All right, hold on, Kyle, folks. We'll be right back with more on the Captain's America Third Watch. The Republicans are weak in that report because they just figure, well, can't we all just get along? No, we can't all just get along. You got to wake up and have some common sense here. Be right back.
You're listening to the Captain's America Third Watch, heard live right here on this station from 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern Time, overnight Monday through Saturday. Call 877-969-8600 and tell us what's on your mind.
All right. Thank you so much, Captain Matt Bruce. Always a pleasure. Folks, thanks for listening to the program. We will see you on the radio tonight and right back here next time. Until then, everybody out there around the globe.
You're listening to Kyle Warren.
Take care out there.